Thank you guys for reading that. I don't know about all of you. I assume I'm not alone in this, but whenever we kind of step out and do something new, when you're trying to follow God's will and God's leading, you're kind of always wondering, am I doing the right thing? Is this where God wants me to be? And so a year ago, we were going through that process, you guys as a church and me individually, thinking, is this where God is calling me to be? And we went through that process. And so you're kind of always looking for little affirmations along the way. And, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I at the right place? And last Sunday, believe it or not, was one of those times. It seems like it'd be small and insignificant, but it was a nice affirmation for me, is that my birthday was on August 17th. And then that was a Saturday. And then there was a Sunday. And then the next Sunday, you guys have this full-blown birthday cake and this party. And then my box is stuffed with cards a week late, and I'm just thinking, these are my type of people. I better late than never, and man, I am rarely on time. I'm usually in the never category and stuff like that. So for me, it's just like, all right, I can handle these folks at Crown Hill. I don't have to feel pressured to always be on time and all that type of stuff. Anyway, so thank you for the cakes, the cake and the cards. I appreciate it. As has been stated throughout, we are starting a new Sunday, a new year this Sunday, Journey with God. And you remember a couple months back, we had this as one of the prayer concerns in the bulletin, that the worship department was getting together and praying about what our theme would be for the year. And we got together and we did the whole brainstorming thing, and we prayed and we came up with this idea as an idea for what we're going to do for the whole year, this umbrella theme of Journey with God. And so this morning, we start that. And I'll just give a brief overview of what that meeting talked about. So where we're looking to go, where we're sketching out this journey. Now, things are subject to change as that exact dates and details aren't known. But we kind of have a direction, we have a plan, we have a theme. So where we're going to start with the next couple of months or weeks, it'll take us probably almost up through November, is we're looking at the spiritual disciplines. And we're going to start next week with prayer, and we're going to look at this as training for the journey. If we're going to take a journey with God, if we're on a journey, we need to be trained up for this journey. And the way that Christians throughout the centuries and millennia have trained is through the spiritual disciplines. And so starting next week with prayer and on through, we're going to go through a number of different spiritual disciplines. And we as a church are going to do this. So there's going to be some involvement, some expectations, you know, as we talk about prayer, as we talk about Bible reading. We're also going to be challenging you guys to do those things. Now, I assume many of you already are, but it's not just going to be a teaching. We hope to be going through this journey as a church, as individuals, as a group, each of us participating in the ways that we can. And for those that are in the baptism class, they got a head start, because every week when we meet for baptism, at the end of the week, we decide, okay, what spiritual, well, they don't decide. I've been telling them. This week, you guys get a choice, though. So we've been telling them, you know, this, practice this spiritual discipline for the coming week. So it's something very important for us, regardless of where we are on our journey with God. After we finish that, we will jump into a series called From the Cradle to the Cross. And that's going to start the 1st of December. Usually that's when Advent starts. Advent is the Sundays before Christmas. When we start Advent, we're going to start in the cradle. And the cradle to the cross is going to take us all the way through Easter. And so with this journey with God, we're going to follow Jesus' life. The journey that Jesus took from the cradle to the cross, and from Advent all the way through Easter, we're just going to follow Jesus' life in a more or less chronological way and look at the lessons that we can learn, and that'll take us all the way through Easter. And then we're going to have a section of probably about a month where we're going to pick some stories from the Old Testament. We don't have the exact individuals' names down yet, but you know, probably some of the pillars of the faith like Abraham or Joseph. And we'll look at the journeys that they went on with God and how we can learn from that. And then next summer, the summer months, what we're going to look is Journey to the End. We're going to look at the end. And this is something that we talked about at that meeting, that it hasn't really been really discussed a lot here at Crown Hill. Is like, what is the end times? What is the book of Revelation actually saying? You know, what is all this prophecy stuff? You know, what's heaven and hell? And all those different things that, you know, as Christians we hear talked about, we hear it on the radio, but you know, where are we coming from? And so that's where we're going to end our series, is our journey to the end and looking at some of those things. So that's the broad overview. Again, a lot of those details are subject to change, but that's how we sketched out our journey. But this morning we've looked at this text of a journey that some individuals were on in Scripture after Jesus' resurrection. And will you pray with me before we look at this text? Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to start new. Lord, it's new in a lot of different ways, a lot of new school years, starting whether you're teaching or in school, just a new time of year, the fall, new season in sports, and we have a new time here at the church. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to start anew. And, Lord, as we gather together here, Lord, we pray that we can start this journey with you this morning and we can just grow closer and closer to you throughout the year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to look at this story of the disciples, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and pull out a couple points that I think we can use as starting points for our journey with God this year. So the first point we want to look at, and what we can see from this interaction between Jesus and the disciples, the first point is that we are all on a journey with God. All of us are on a journey with God, whether we recognize it or not. We are all on a journey with God, whether we recognize it or not. And that journey started with our physical birth. That God is present here among us. God is present in our life. God is present and actively working in our world. That is true, that is fact, and that is what we as Christians proclaim as gospel truth, that God is here among us. God is actively loving us. God is directing our lives and involved in our lives. But, as we see in this story, we don't always recognize God for who he is. So the first point is we are on a journey with God. All of us, regardless of what you think or what you believe, you're on a journey with God. The question is, do we recognize God for who he is and what he's doing? And we talk about this a lot. We talk about, you know, when we started our Christian walk, or when I became a Christian, or when, you know, when I invited Christ into my heart, or when I started my faith journey. And when we go back to our testimonies, and we reference those times a lot, but really, those times aren't really the start of our Christian walk. Those are the times when we first recognized God for who he was. When we look back to the beginning of our journeys with God, back to when we started our belief in God, that is a recognition. That is when we recognized. That is the point when we realized that God loved us for who we are. That is the point when we recognize that God loves us as a father. If you remember last week, we looked at that woman and how she interacted with Jesus. God was always there for her. But when Jesus looked at her and said, daughter, that's when she recognized that God loved her as a father. It was a point of recognition. And so when we look at starting our journeys with God, it's a point of recognition. It's not that God all of a sudden was here and he wasn't 5 minutes ago. It's not all of a sudden that, you know, God just, you know, started in my life. God has always been there. It's up for us to recognize. God's love has always been there. God's mercy has always been there. His grace is always sufficient. God is always there to forgive us when we sin. All those things have always been available to us, always have been, and always will be. The question for us is, when do we recognize those things? And that's when we start our own personal walk with God, even though God has always been there with us. So our journey with God is nothing new. And for us this morning, I think we're probably all coming from different points. You know, many of us have probably been to that point where we recognize God in our lives years and years and years ago. You may have been at Crown Hill since you were born. You were born into this church, raised in this church, and been here 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 plus years. But you're still on that journey with God. Maybe you're new to the church. Maybe you've been at church for a long time and you still feel like you're new in your faith. Regardless of where you are, we all have something to learn this year. We all have a place that we need to start and grow deeper. So as we embark on this journey with God, I challenge all of you guys, regardless of where you are on that spectrum of your Christian faith, regardless of where you are on your spectrum of how long you've been a Christian, I challenge you to come before God this year, to come before, you know, just open-handed, not saying this is who I am, not saying I've got it all together, I've been a Christian for 50 years, I've been in church longer than anyone else here. That's not the right attitude. Ask, where can I grow this year? Where do I need to grow in a deeper awareness of Christ? Where can I grow in my journey with God? How can I further recognize what God is doing in my life? And maybe that's just another step in a lifelong journey. And maybe that's a first step. As Dave mentioned this morning, maybe you've never recognized Christ for who He is. Maybe like those walkers on the road, you're walking, you're going through life, and Christ is right there with you, and you just don't know it yet. And maybe this is the year that you can recognize that. You can take that step of faith and say, I recognize that God is in my life, and I need Him. So I challenge us, as we enter this year, that you are ready to start anew, that you're ready to take another step in your journey. So the first thing we recognize is that we're all on a journey, and we just need to recognize that God is with us. Secondly, we need to eventually invite Jesus to stay with us. And this we can look at from verses 28 to 29. 28 and 29, as they acted out, it says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if He was going further. So the text is a little ambiguous here. Jesus acted as if He was going further. So He didn't really have plans to go further, but He acted like it. But they urged Him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So He went in and stayed with them. And as the text goes on, we see that as He went in, as He stayed with them, as He broke bread with them, then all of a sudden their eyes were opened. Then once Christ had entered with them and ate with them, then they could recognize Him for who He was. But before that, they couldn't recognize Him. They didn't know who He was. They were talking to Him. He was explaining the Scriptures to them. Their hearts were burning from the inside, but they still didn't know who He was. It's only after they invited Him and said, stay with us, that He revealed Himself to them and they knew who He was and they could recognize Him. We have a responsibility in all this. God is always there. God is constant. God is always there. His love is always there for us. His grace is always there for us. He always loves us like a father. No matter what we do, what we've done, or what we are going to do, God's love does not change. That is a constant. That is unconditional. But the other side of the coin is we do have responsibility in it. We can't change God's love for us, but we need to determine how we respond, if we respond at all, to this love that God has for us. And what we see here in the text is that the disciples, even though they didn't know who Christ was, they urged Him to stay. And we need to make that same invitation to Christ and say, we want You to stay with us. This reminds me of the verse in Revelation 3:20. This is towards the end of the Scriptures in Revelation, and this is the text where Jesus is saying, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they will with Me. That's kind of the end of the Scriptures. It's kind of the culmination of what God is trying to tell His people. I am always here. I am always standing at the door, and I am knocking. You can't shoo me away. You can't push me away. You can pretend I'm not here, but I'm still here. I'm still knocking. And He will keep knocking until the day you die. But we have a responsibility in this. We must open the door. And we must invite Him in. Because God is not in the business of coercion. God is not in the business of force. He will not get a crowbar and pry that door open, although it would be a lot nicer for us as humans and for the history of humanity if He would. But God, somehow in His divine wisdom, has given us a role to play. And He has given us a choice to make, whether to open the door or not open the door. His promise has been, I will be here knocking. I will be here waiting. My love is unconditional and it will continue no matter what you do, say, or think. I will always be here knocking. But we have the responsibility to respond and invite Him in. And He promises when you respond, I will enter and I will eat with you and you will be in a relationship. But we have a responsibility. So keep in mind that God is not in the business of coercion. He doesn't force His way in, but He's always knocking. And lastly, we can learn from this text, the third point is when the disciples recognize who Jesus is, they immediately go back to Jerusalem. In verse 33, so Jesus, they recognized Jesus, then He mysteriously disappears, but they recognized who He was. And then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those that were with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke bread with them. The first thing they did is after they recognized Jesus is they went and told others. And likewise, we can learn from this as our example to follow is that when we recognize Christ in our life, when we open up our door to Him and invite Him in, when we recognize Christ for who He is, we get so excited that we want to tell others. And that's part of the responsibility as Christians, that we are in the business of helping other people recognize who Christ is. We are supposed to be telling other people. We want to let other people know who this God is that we have recognized in our own life. We want to tell people of the journey that we are on. We want to let people know that we have found Christ, that we've recognized Christ, that we know who this God is that loves us and extends mercy to us and grace to us. We need to tell others. And this, in a word, is evangelism. And this is what we're not comfortable with and we're not good at. Evangelism kind of makes us a little uncomfortable and it's not easy to do. And I, like I assume most of you, it doesn't come naturally. But it is our responsibility as Christians to be sharing, to be helping others recognize God in their lives. And one of my favorite definitions of evangelism that kind of goes hands in hands with this, I can't give you the source on this, but I remember one of my professors telling it, is that one definition of evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. That's evangelism. One beggar telling another beggar where to get food. You've found a source of what you need. We as Christians know that we need Christ in our life. We've recognized our need, and we've recognized that God is the source of what we need. So we're not better than anyone else. We're not higher up and more righteous than anyone else. We're not, you know, more moral than anyone else. We're a beggar telling another beggar where to get food. So we can't lie to ourselves and say, you know, we have it all together. You know, look at us, we're doing it right, follow us. What we can say is, we found a source. It's not us, we found a source. Let us tell you what that source is. And as we start the journey this year, this is one of the things that is part of our mission statement as a church, that we want to be a beacon of God's love, that we want to be sharing this with other people, we want to be helping other people recognize. And this is one of the things that we'll be working at throughout the year, is that we want to help people recognize God's love in their lives. And that only happens through us, all of us. You know, we have a nice new sign out front. It looks good. But that sign isn't going to bring people to Christ. You know, we have a website now that we didn't have a year ago. That website isn't going to bring people to Christ. You know, we're looking to run an Alpha program this year. You know, Alpha isn't the answer. We have all these things that we're working on, but these things are simply tools that are at our disposal as individuals and as a community to use to help people recognize Christ. We can't rely on them to do the work that we have been called to do. As, like I said earlier, for some reason, God has left us a big responsibility. For some reason, God has chosen us, Christians throughout the world, to be messengers, to be beacons of His love. You know, every time I think about that, I think, God, there would be better ways to do this, all right? We are horrible at it. You know, we always send the wrong message, we do the wrong things, and we're hypocrites, and all these other things. Find a better plan. But He's chosen to use us. It's the way it is. And so we have a responsibility to try to fulfill that call that God has given us. And so the biggest challenge I want to leave before us this morning is for us to think intentionally about those individuals in our lives that God has placed there so that we can share His love. Who are those individuals in our lives that we have a responsibility to share the gospel with? That we have a responsibility to help them recognize God. And we as a church are committed to giving you the tools in order to do that. The Alpha program that we're looking to start in January is an excellent tool for people to recognize God in their lives. But Alpha isn't going to happen unless you are actively talking to people and letting people know that we're doing this, inviting them, saying, hey, this is something worth looking into. You are the people that are going to make this happen or not happen. We are the people that God has chosen to work out His will here on earth. And so I challenge you, especially as we start this year, to think specifically. Think about names. Think about individuals that you know, and we all come across them, whether it's school, at work, family, neighborhood, to be thinking specifically about who do we want to be reaching out to? Who do we want to be praying for? Who do we want to be inviting to Alpha? Who do we want to be inviting to other church programs? Who do we want to be inviting to church on Sunday morning? Who do we want to be helping recognize Christ? Because we can't do that with fancy signs. We can't do that with advertising. We can't do that with marketing. We can't do that with a website. That happens through us. So as we start the year, I challenge you to think of individuals, and especially as we go through the spiritual disciplines, we're going to look at prayer and study and fasting and all those things about how we can use those tools to reach out to people. So this year, this week especially, start thinking about, praying about who are those individuals that are in your life that God has placed there for a reason. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to start. And Lord, we thank you that we could gather this morning and recognize that you are Lord of our lives, that you are in control, that you are the one that controls our future, and you are the one that has brought us to this point, not ourselves. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would lay before us individuals that you want us to reach out to, that have not yet recognized you in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit to be able to help them recognize you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.